some of us were thinking, what would have happened if we really tried to advertise a missionary conference? This whole event started out as just a casual idea to get the girls in the Colorado or the Rocky Mountain area together with our missionaries. And somehow the word got out, and you're all here, and we're very excited. And I want you to know that missionaries around the world are praying for this event. They're very excited about it. We got a telegram or cablegram from Japan. The girls in Japan join you in praying. Matthew, you want to jot this down because we can't read. I looked it up, and it's a chapter and a half. Matthew 9:35-10:42. Girls in Japan. Oh, I don't know how I can operate with it. You know, this was such a neat idea because it's novel, and it says expressly for the navigators. So from Doc Ball in 1977, this little stand. So we're going to use it. Even if I can't see over the top of it. There's a vague anxiety in the Western world that time may be running out. Now, that's a quote from Time magazine, and it's sort of a play on words, but wasn't intended that way. We are wearing out our world. We are using up our resources. Political tensions are mounting, and we fear that we may self-destruct. Have you thought about that lately? We don't know when, but we know there is an end, and it is soon, and the Bible assures us that this is true. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who is considered the Tolstoy of today, says, "Friends, I have come not to tell you comfortable things, but I've come to tell you the truth. The West is on the verge of collapse, created by its own hand. Communist strategy is also influencing our fall, if not directing it. Lenin said, then we shall take Asia. And as you know, China is gone, Vietnam, North Korea, Cambodia, Laos, India is a prime target. He says, then we shall surround America, the last bastion of freedom. We shall surround America. We shall not have to fight. It will fall into our hands like overripe fruit." And what is their method? One of their methods, one of their major methods, is to destroy a nation internally through immorality. And they are pumping our country, as you well know, full of pornography, through TV, pictures, magazines, any way they can. Today, while we are meeting together, girls, women's libbers are meeting in Texas, trying to get legislation through to legalize abortion, prostitution, and lesbianism in the name of equal rights. Now, on the subject of homosexuality, they want it taught in the schools as an alternate lifestyle. Now, you're gasping. You should know this. It is being taught in the Denver schools, in some of the Denver schools now. They even have coloring books to show you what lesbians do together. I've seen them. The cover. I didn't want to see any more than that. But, you know, this is how the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire were destroyed, internally. And it is working. They also want the right for homosexuals to marry and to adopt children. Our whole culture will change if this goes through. It's a very crucial weekend. If I had my choice, I'd probably want to be down in Houston with the women who have come by the busload to pray against the Women's Lib movement. And I thank God that some women have gotten on buses, have taken it seriously, and are down there. But I met a friend in the Denver airport when I was picking up one of the girls I was trying to. And she's a girl I knew years ago. And I was involved with her husband coming to Christ. And she said, "I am so excited. I'm on my way to Houston." And I said, "Which side are you on?" "The Woman's Lib." And she used a four-letter word. And I thought, sometimes Christianity doesn't stick too hard. Christianity Today reports that some of the major sending denominations are cutting down their missionary task force, the United Presbyterian Church, by two-thirds. Now, that has been a major task force. My mother received Christ through the Presbyterians in Egypt when she was teaching English there. the United Methodists by one half, while the number of missionaries for non-Christian Eastern religions in the Western world is rising. Deviations of Christianity, such as Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, or the Unification Church, seem to have no difficulty in making headway with their erroneous doctrines. And we find them everywhere in the world. When I was in Brazil, we went to a bank to exchange the money, and one of the fellows said, "You see those fellows over there?" And they all had white shirts and ties on. The Mormons were there, everywhere in the world. Edith Schaefer tells about one. She tells about an American girl in a bedraggled long dress with a baby tied by a cloth dangling from her hip in Switzerland, stopping busy women on their way to shop for their food. And she had a big smile on her face, and she was following God and collecting money for the children of God. She handed out a pamphlet. And on this pamphlet was a picture of a girl tied to a cross with a nail through her sexual organ. And it explained that the way a woman could sacrifice herself for God was by giving herself sexually to the male members of the children of God. And Edith says, can we shrug our shoulders at this American girl with the next generation on her hip? Our problem is we're not even aware, often, as Christians, of what's going on. Lamentations 2 tells us how we should be responding to this. Lamentations 2, 18 and 19. Their heart cried out to the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run like a brook day and night. Give yourself no respite. The daughter of your eye, no rest. Arise, you cry out in the night. At the beginning of the night watches, pour out your heart as waters before the face of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the life of your children that faint with hunger at the corner of every street. This little gal, this American girl, is getting her message out. And she's sincere. And some will listen. Some will listen. Waldron Scott says, for every person on the spaceship Earth who names the name of Christ, there are two who have never heard his name. So I assume there are about 150 of us here today. 150 times today. There are 300 women in the world who have never heard his Christ, heard the name of Jesus Christ. Chinese, Hindus, Muslims comprise 80% of the unreached people today, and over half are women. We're focusing, as you notice, on reaching women today. Now, we don't mind if some of you go out and help some little boys come to Christ. However, on the other side of the coin, God is apparently giving the United States, America, another opportunity, another spiritual awakening. NBC had a 3-segment report recently, within the last month. And they said that 35% of the American adults claim to be born again. Now, I don't know what they mean by being born again, but it is so significant that NBC had a special report on evangelicals in the United States. We can be a considerable force if we get our act together, not only in the United States, but in the world. And that is just adults. That does not count teenagers or children. Christian books have been the bestsellers the last couple of years, while secular books sales are on the decline. Something is happening in our country. We need to be praying strategically. We need to be getting involved strategically. But if America does fall, what hope is there for foreign missions? We may be bad, we may be corrupt, but we are still the number one sending nation in the world. And that's what I remind the Lord when I pray. There are still 10 righteous men and women in the United States. And here we are, aren't we? And we can stay the hand of the enemy. Because God has promised. You know, he's interested in reaching the world. And if we're interested in going, he will protect our nation from corruption and the next generation. But we need to take the spiritual offensive. in our own country and around the world, we need to be involved in the Great Commission, or we may not have the opportunity to be involved in anything. Supposing we knew for sure that there were only 2 to 4 years of freedom left in this country. Just supposing. It could be very true. Are your current aspirations and objectives temporal or eternal? Will what you are pursuing currently help fulfill the Great Commission? Will it even help fulfill you? Apart from involvement in the Great Commission, there is no fulfillment for the Christian, is there? We will try everything we can to be fulfilled, but there is no fulfillment apart from being involved with God, with what God is involved with. Well, how can God's objectives be reached? You can't hear? That's why I wanted a microphone. I'm sorry, this hasn't worked out, girls. They've tried very hard to give us a microphone. How can God's objectives be reached? How can his objective of bringing his daughters from the ends of the earth be reached? Isaiah 43:10 says, "You are my witnesses, my servants." You and I. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20 gives us some guidelines. But all things come from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, which is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting up their sins against them, and has committed unto us the message of reconciliation. On behalf of Christ, then, we are ambassadors. Now, you'll notice it says we are ambassadors. It doesn't say we could be. We are. And I guess my question is, what kind of ambassadors are we? And do we really represent the Lord? What is an ambassador? He's a messenger, or she is a messenger or a representative. An ambassador does not act on her own authority. We communicate what we have been commanded to say. Our authority is Jesus Christ. Now, the United States has a UN ambassador called Andrew Young. And you recall when he first took office recently, he became rather controversial because he was continually making statements that embarrassed the United States. And I noticed that the president was in press conferences was defending his selection of Andrew Young. And I've also noticed that recently Andrew Young has toned down a little. I think he's discovering that an ambassador is not supposed to be out there representing his own thinking. He has got to represent the thinking of the United States. Or he loses his function, doesn't he? And an ambassador who represents only herself is worthless. What caliber of ambassador are you or am I? At our campus, on our job, who do we really represent? What message are we to deliver? 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Be reconciled to God." That is our message. We are to be out helping people to become reconciled to Jesus Christ. George Beiston, whoever he is, says, "The Bible in its totality ascribes only one intention to God, to save mankind." That is God's objective, his only objective. And if I am to be involved in the Great Commission, then my objective must be lined up or aligned with God's. And you stop and think today, what are my objectives? What do I dream about? Do I dream about the lost? Do I care that people are going to hell? Or is most of my thought life taken up about me? The impression I'm making? The approval I'm seeking? Who do I really represent is the question, isn't it? And how are we to deliver this message? Girls, we are ambassadors of light. We have the truth. Biblically, light represents everything pertaining to God. Light represents his holiness. And as we walk in the light, we become beacons to others. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with the other. But we are beacons. Followers of Jesus Christ are lights because of our moral character. Have you ever noticed? Well, light does two things. Number one, it reveals hidden defects. If we shut out all the lights in this room, we wouldn't know if our hair was messed up, if our clothes were dirty or clean, would we? It reveals hidden defects of those around us while at the same time beckoning them to God. Have you ever noticed how uncomfortable unbelievers are in our presence? If they say an off-color joke or swear, do they apologize to you? If they do, your light is shining. If they're comfortable, look out, girls. Matthew 5, 14 to 16 tells us something about light. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do they light a lamp and place it under a grain measure, but on a stand. Then it shines for everyone in the house. Similarly, let your light shine among the people so that they may observe your good works and give glory to your Father. The unbeliever is more comfortable in the dark. John 3:19 says, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Dance halls, discos, bars, all dark, right? Do you ever walk by a bar and try to look in? Why is it dark? Their deeds are evil. Their intents are evil. And besides, you can do sinful things in the dark more comfortably than with a bright light on you. Can't you? Man, when self-deceived, calls darkness light. And that's what these false teachers are doing. They misconstrue the truth. When Paul was on the Damascus Road, Jesus appeared to him and gave him his marching orders in Acts 26:18. And he says to Paul, or Saul at the time, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. And Paul took up the banner, took up the challenge, gave his life to presenting the truth, and gave his life for it. He was martyred. And secondly, light reflects Jesus. The question we must ask ourselves is this: if they follow my light, how clearly will they see Jesus? Is my light shining clear? Or is it hazy, diffused, or dim? Am I an ambassador of light, or have I so identified with the world that my light is under a bushel? During World War II, when there was the threat of air raids over the United States, they had what they called blackouts. And when you were going through the dry run of the blackout, they required that you put blankets or anything to cover up every single possible shred of light from your house. They did not want cigarettes lit on the street, a candle, because from the air, an enemy pilot, seeing one little cigarette could lead him to the target. That's the effectiveness of one little light. And you may think, what is my light? We are in a very dark world, girls. We live in it. And our little lights are a threat to the enemy. And every chance he gets, he's putting bushels on them. Isn't he? I want to tell you a story. It's a true one. About a woman who has had a tremendous impact on my life. God sent, I call her an ambassador par excellence. Over 100 years ago, God sent a single woman as an ambassador of light to India. She was no run-of-the-mill navigator. Actually, she would make the average nav staff look like a neophyte missionary. And that includes all of us. At age 27, approximately, Amy Carmichael left for the mission field, called of God, and did not even know what country she was going to. She thought it was Ceylon. She ended up in southern India with a very special mission. She started out doing what the average missionary does, going from village to village, presenting the gospel, until she heard that little children, little girls, and then later boys, were sold by their parents to the temple priests. They were trained by temple women to become prostitutes for the priests. So moved was she, so concerned, so burdened, that she set up a covert operation with some fellow workers, and they began to rescue these little girls. Every chance they heard, every time they heard of a sale being negotiated, they would rescue the child. They would try to appeal to the parents to let it go. And then they would take it to the compound and hide it. She had lawsuits against her. She was threatened with prison. And she said she would gladly go to prison if it would mean the deliverance of one little girl, one precious little girl. She also discovered later that little boys were sold for similar purposes. And so the compound that she founded, the mission at Donover, had a section for little boys and a section for little girls. And they brought them up from little children. They didn't just lead them to Christ and protect them. They brought them up from little children to adulthood in a climate of love and discipline. Instead of being trained for immorality, they were trained to know and love Jesus Christ. What started with a dedicated few ended up at one point in time to have 900 fellow workers and children at this mission. Hundreds of children were saved. What was her concept? That was the caliber of her mission. I'm trying to give you my outline. The concept of her calling. Amy trained her disciples in an atmosphere of love and discipline. And she had some crack troops, I call them. We would call them shock troops today or green berets. Seven women whom she called sisters of the common life. Now I'm going to tell you about them. They earnestly desired to follow their Lord with no reserves, no limitations, and with no ends of their own. They had no other objective in life, girls, but to follow Jesus Christ. They were called sisters of the common life, women who felt called of God to remain single, you girls in our culture, single, in order to serve the Lord at the mission, rescuing and ministering to the little children that the Lord sent. These sisters could always be asked to do a task from which the flesh would naturally shrink. No vows were taken, but they were given the opportunity to freely follow and serve Jesus Christ. And this is a quote. We are called to a settled happiness in the Lord, whose joy is our strength. And Amy says, this sacred work demands not lukewarm, selfish, slack souls, but hearts more finely tempered than steel. Wills purer and harder than diamonds. And one of their favorite sayings was, the cross is the attraction. Amy produced disciples after her kind, Indian disciples. Now I want to tell you a little bit more about the Sisters of the Common Life. I found this very fascinating and extremely challenging, and I'm going to read it. But these were the conditions of co-laboring with Amy Carmichael. And let's see how we'd qualify, girls. To belong to the Sisters of the Common Life will certainly bring the devil's fire upon us. Most of us shrink back at the beginning of this thing, don't we? When a soul sets out to find God, it does not know by what path it will be led. But those who catch the vision are ready to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. As Sisters of the Common Life, we are trusted to be very careful about our inner discipline. And she goes on to explain what this is. And continually to expose every part of our inward life to the searching light of God. Let no least thought of unkindness move in me there. That's number one. No least thought of unkindness. Let such a thought be impossible to me. Let it be intolerable to think an unkind thought. Now you talk about inner discipline. We're not even on the ground floor. If I have given room to any feeling of unlove, show me the seriousness of that sin. Break me down before thy face because of it. What a prayer. We are trusted to spread the spirit of love, tenderness in judgment, the habit of thinking the best of one another. That's discipline, isn't it? Unwillingness to believe evil, grief if we are forced to do so, eagerness to believe good, joy over one recovered from a slip or fall, unselfish gladness in another's joys, sorrow in another's sorrows, readiness to do anything to help another entirely irrespective of self. All this and much more is included in the wonderful word, love. And I'm not through yet, girls. If love weakens among us, if it ever becomes possible to tolerate the least shadow of an unloving thought, our fellowship will begin to perish. And you know, when I read that, I thought, has our fellowship even begun? Has it even begun? Unlove is deadly. It is a cancer. It may kill slowly, but it always kills in the end. Let us fear it, fear to give room to it as we should fear to nurse a cobra. And just as one minute drop of almost invisible cobra venom spreads swiftly all over the body, so one drop of the gall of unlove in my heart or yours, however unseen, has a terrible power of spreading all through our family, for we are one body. We are parts of one another. No one of us liveth unto herself. We haven't even begun, have we, girls? Is it any wonder that missions are disintegrating, that the navigators are having struggles? And whatever group you're with, because of unlove and unkindness and undisciplined thoughts and unjudged sins in our lives. Now listen to this last statement. We owe it to the younger ones to teach them the truth that united prayer is impossible unless there be loyal love. If unlove be discovered anywhere, stop everything and put it right, if possible, at once. I want you to know, I have been deeply challenged by the Sisters of the Common Life. Have you wondered why your life may be relatively impotent, dull, even boring? Could it be that we are allowing unkind or unloving thoughts to dwell in our hearts, unchecked, justified? What would the impact on the navigators be around the world if we loved the Lord as the Sisters of the Common Life? Would that change the chemistry here at Glen Eyrie? Would it change it in the navigators US-wide in the world? To cease backbiting, criticizing, mistrusting each other? And the Lord? Basically, it's the Lord we mistrust. What if we sacrificially gave ourselves to the Lord and others? If we in this room did this, just we in this room, would not the world feel its impact? It would be blinded by our light. The world today, girls, does not need rhetoric. It does not need methods. It does not need money. It needs models. It needs demonstrations of the power of God to change lives. That's what the world needs. There are hundreds of false doctrines in the world today. And the non-Christian cannot tell the difference between what we are saying and a lie. It needs a model, a demonstration. Are we willing to be models? Women whose joy is the strength that the Lord gives. Amy goes on to say, no one could be happy who shunned the cross, who did not honestly desire to take the way the Master went. Now, this is what they mean by the cross. The way of shame and suffering, if need be, so that the people of India may not only hear him, but see his life being lived in a company of believers. What would happen if every one of us straightened out our lives today and got rid of the venom of poisoning? Through the dedication of Amy Carmichael and her co-laborers, God delivered hundreds of children from a life of captivity and sin to become ambassadors of light to India. As they grew up and moved out into the community, they became ambassadors of light. And the work continues today. It was started in the late 1890s, and Donovan Fellowship, started by a single woman, directed by her, incidentally, with men under her direction, She didn't know there was going to be a woman's lib movement. She was a liberated woman. Women have been involved, girls, in fulfilling the Great Commission since the first century. Actually, both Old Testament and New Testament are replete with women who have been involved in fulfilling the purposes of God. Deborah led the people of Israel. Priscilla and Lydia were Christian businesswomen. I don't know how to pronounce this. Odia and Syntyche were noted by Paul because they have worked hard with me to spread the gospel. Philippians 4:3. The women in the first century were not bystanders. They weren't sitting around trying to figure out what is the place of a woman. They were following Jesus. How shall we then help bring God's daughters from the ends of the earth? Bring them where? Bring reality, rebellion, and be embraced in how slowly the light of the gospel is spread. Incredible, isn't it? Women's lib, the cults, Eastern religions, even communists sincerely believe they have the truth. And they believe they can enlighten the world. With every fiber of their being, they are fanatically spreading their false philosophies. Can we who know the truth do less? Some of you know Tina Henry. She's lived in a number of our areas. She is currently a secretary in Austria. She replaced Judy Crawford, who is here with us. And if you want to know something about Eastern Europe, you can talk to Judy Crawford. But Tina Henry wrote me a letter this past week, and she said she was hoping she could say something to all of you, and I'm going to give her the opportunity. And this is a quote. You know, it is so exciting to see the harvest field firsthand. There is such an abundant supply of opportunities for people with a few basic skills. Everyone in this room has them. A few basic skills. And a lot of faith in God's goodness. Modeling, right? Not just knowledge. But a lot of faith in God's goodness and power in their lives to make an impact for Him among the nations. If I could pass along one thing to women interested in missions, here it is. It would be Isaiah 54, 1 through 5. And this is the Henry paraphrase. To be joyful and trust God for many spiritual descendants. To spare not. To trust God for big things and move in the direction of going overseas. And see Him use your life to make an impact on the world. And to meet you in a special way as your husband. That's the end of the paraphrase. She said, I feel more people should move in the direction of missions. And see if God will open doors instead of sitting comfortably at home and waiting for God to pick them up and drop them in another country. I started looking into missions seriously about a year and a half ago, and here I am. Tina Henry is involved in making disciples behind the Iron Curtain. Another covert operation. And she will reproduce disciples after her kind, just as Amy Carmichael did. Hudson Taylor says, there is a need for us to give ourselves to the life of the world. An easy, non-self-denying life will never be one of power. Fruit-bearing involves cross-bearing. There are not two Christs, an easy-going one for easy-going Christians, and a suffering, toiling one for exceptional believers. There is only one Christ. Are you willing to abide in Him and thus bear much fruit? John 12:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, it by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Will we as ambassadors for Jesus Christ willingly respond to the challenge of bringing His daughters from the ends of the earth to Jesus? This is our opportunity, girls. Shall we close with a word of prayer? Father, we are very moved today by the cost of discipleship, by the cost of the cross, by the standards that you have set for your ambassadors. And Lord, the flesh dies very slowly and very hard. But we would pray in the name of Jesus Christ today that each one of us would be willing to commit our lives to you, to allow your Spirit to penetrate our inner thoughts and recesses of our hearts and show us those areas that are offensive to you, the areas of unlovingness, of unkindness, the areas of rank sin. And Lord, as you cleanse us and as you trim our wicks, we pray that we will be ambassadors of light to a very needy world. And Lord, you know that we have been praying that you would call out from among those of us that are here today, women who are willing to pay the price, whatever it be, that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth may be spread throughout the world, and that we will personally be models, whether we stay at home or go abroad, of the power and of the love and of the joy that Jesus Christ can bring to a life. We ask your Spirit to continue to speak to us throughout this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.